Hello and welcome to the B2 Football Podcast.
Guest hosting this week is Nick Davey.
Oh shit, we started.
So what do you want to talk about, Nick?
Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the B2 Football Podcast.
It's our first show of 2017.
Hooray!
So I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Richard Hero Hudson.
Good evening. He was trying to steal my good evening then.
I thought that.
I know. It's because I'm used to it. I had to keep a value on the 72 show, and obviously I forget that. I'm now doing a show with you because it rarely happens these days. So,
all right. Well,
stealing my thunder.
Did you guys? Have a...
yeah, but you are quite old, so I need to keep the legacy going.
I'm not dead yet.
How many more years before you retire? Then
I've got to get my son making it in as a Premier League footballer. So, well, hopefully, I'll get a contract in China at the moment.
We might be able to piggyback off his success and get like a better punditry role or something.
Yeah, do that.
Anyway, did you guys have a good Christmas, New Year's?
Excellent. Yourself?
Yeah, it was very nice, thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed Peak District and everything. Yeah, it was great.
I ate too much.
All right.
Did you have any tarts and Bakewell?
I had loads of food, but I've even forgotten what I've even eaten. I've drank a lot. A very good Christmas to all in all and New Year, so thank you very much indeed for asking.
All right, well, I'll use that as a starting point, because I just want to ask about New Year's resolutions. I don't know if either of you have got any, maybe less food and drink this year, Nick, or...
Nick's is not to spill tea down himself, he's failed already, that's it.
No, I just kicked time. obviously I've got my wrestling training starting tomorrow, so New Year's resolution simply just to get into a little bit better shape, but I don't know how long it'll last for.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty similar. I'm doing kettlebell exercises.
Right, mind you, I haven't touched a drink for 5 days, and I'm hoping to go pretty much all the month, and I've got a weekend planned where there will be drink at the end of the month, so if I can get to then, I'll be pretty happy. I think off to a good start. So far, so good.
Actually, I've done the same since New Year, so, and I'm not planning to drink until I go to Austria at the end of the month.
It's almost like we're very close to here.
Yeah.
And I'll continue enjoying my drink. There's a couple of players I saw who've got New Year's resolutions. There's a few more like boring ones, like Xhaka says he wants to win something that matters at Arsenal, and Bakary Sagna says he wants silverware this year.
Xhaka should be not to make any clumsy tackles.
He does make a lot of clumsy tackles. I read Zlatan Ibrahimovic has got one as well, because he was disappointed he's only got 6 assists at Man United this season, and obviously to go with his 18 goals, and he said he wants to get more assists as his New Year's resolution when he was asked. So
he's just a giving guy, isn't he?
Yes. He said it makes him as happy as it does to score a goal, to assist a goal. I thought that was enough.
I can't believe that myself.
Sticking on good news, I just want to mention Sunderland, this young Sunderland fan Bradley Lowry, who won the joint one goal of the month with Mkhitaryan. Bradley's 5-year-old kid, must have seen him with cancer. He scored a penalty in the warm up for Sunderland, and he's got goal of the month, and I've seen he's got a lot of Christmas cards and a lot of donations, so wish him well with his cancer treatment, and yeah.
Yeah, fantastic news that, and obviously it's, again, from all of everyone here at the B2, then to his family, and obviously to himself more than anything, and just hopefully he can have a recovery.
Mm-hmm. Just want to ask as well about Mkhitaryan's goal, this scorpion kick, which obviously won goal of the month. Giroud scored a similar goal, and I've seen a bit of debate on Twitter. Which of the two scorpion kicks do you think was the better goal?
Oh, 100% Giroud's.
I agree.
I will agree on that Giroud's is the better, but I have heard sort of things that because sort of Mkhitaryan was the first to do it, then Giroud was trying to sort of emulate it. So
yeah,
is the sort of the original the better, because he had the thought to do it, and then somebody else was instinct then trying to replicate it.
Mm. I think the fact as well that Mkhitaryan was obviously it shouldn't have even been allowed in the first place. The fact that it was a yard offside doesn't really help it much as well. So, and also, given the fact that Giroud was obviously on live TV as well, whereas Mkhitaryan wasn't, and also the fact that it was 0-0 when Giroud scored, whereas United they're already 2-0 up and coasted. Whether that has been vivid or not, just simply for the fact that it did look quite better, and the fact that it was an offside simply as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think Giroud was
better.
Oh yeah, you can't take anything away from either. Both brilliant. Another thing with Giroud as well, I like the fact that he actually had to get in between two defenders as well. Whereas Mkhitaryan, I think it was sort of I could be wrong. I think he was free. He didn't have too many defenders around him, so he had a bit of space to do it. And honestly, even if he did have loads of space, 99 times out of 100, it wouldn't work anyway. But I think also Giroud, that makes Giroud a little bit more impressive. But as I say, Sue, absolutely outstanding strikes.
Mm-hmm. Giroud's, I think, was more planned. Mkhitaryan's was more instinctive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take from that, which is better. But as United fan, I would still go with Giroud's.
Mm-hmm. Just a final quick bit of news. Chris has sent over to me, which I read an interesting article. A fan's put the whole Rotherham team up for sale on eBay, with it going up to 66 grand in the... It went up to 66 grand on the website, and now it's been... I had a look at it today. It's now been deleted off eBay, unfortunately, so no further bidding. I believe it had a post...
I hope this guy hasn't lost 66 grand for a scam or something.
Well, it'd be there was a £3 postage and packaging charge as well on that. So I don't know how you postage and package a squad up for £3, but there you go. On that, I think we'll move on to the first round of the quiz, which this week Richard is quizmaster. So over to you, Rich.
Okay, right. So I've got 10 questions for you each.
Okay.
Okay. Who would like to go in the first round?
I'll go.
Okay. So this is about, seeing as we're sort of halfway through the season, pretty much it's about the Premier League so far.
All right, sounds good.
So your first question is, how many hat-tricks have been scored in the Premier League so far this season?
Okay.
Who's this question for you, Anthony, right?
Yeah, it's for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So good. Rondon, welcome. Rondon scored a hat-trick. Aguero must have scored one. Five, maybe? Five. I'll say five.
Bang on. Yeah, Rondon got one. Jamie Vardy obviously got one. Andre Gray, Alexis Sanchez, and Lukaku.
All right. Not bad.
Next one. From a bit of controversy from a couple of days ago. How many red cards has Mike Dean dished out so far?
Mike Dean. Well, I saw a stat. I think he's issued the most cards of any ref this season. So, what have we had? We've had 20 games this season. So, assuming he's refereed about 20 games. How many? Four.
Unlucky, one wrong left. He's done five already.
I didn't want to guess five again.
Okay, how many points did Bob Bradley win during his 11-game spell in charge of Swansea?
So he won a game. He beat Palace, obviously, in that 5-4. I don't think he won any more. Sorry, did you say how many games he managed?
No, how many points did he get during his 11 games?
Yeah, that's what, 11 games, so... He won one at least. So, seven?
Eight.
All right.
Okay, the next one, I'll give you this within 5%.
Okay.
Okay. What was Liverpool's possession percentage during their 2-0 defeat by Burnley in August?
Oh, I remember reading about this because it was a ridiculous amount.
Difficult questions, isn't it?
I think 75, 80 range, so 77, I'll say.
You got in within the range. It was 81.
All right.
Uh, how many Premier League teams made a net profit in the summer transfer window?
A net profit?
Yeah.
Trying to think of big outgoings to think who wouldn't have made a profit. I'm trying to think of any players that maybe moved abroad or moved for big fees. Almost all of them mustered up. I can't think of any teams that would have made a loss or would have made a profit. 18? Wait, sorry, no. Two teams made a profit, I'll say.
No, it's a slightly bit more than that. For Everton, Swansea, Southampton and Liverpool made a profit.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Question number six. You've got 2 out of 5 so far.
Okay.
Who did Paul Merson predict would win the Premier League back in August?
Maybe he said the same as I did, Chelsea.
He did. Did you anybody hear him the other day when he was going on about West Ham selling Paye?
Oh, I saw that, yeah. He had a bit of a thing with Martial, didn't he?
We could sell Paye for 30 million and buy Martial for 20. It's like, yes, of course they could.
Yeah, Jeff Stelling proper shot him down for his thoughts. It was quite a funny exchange, actually.
And another question about Paul Merson. Who did he predict would finish bottom?
Bottom. Can't think of any teams. He doesn't like any rivals or anything. I'll say West Brom as a guess because they're doing really well and it'd be quite a sensational story if he'd said them bottom.
No, he had Burnley.
Okay.
Question number 8. You got 3 out of 7 at the moment. What did Pep Guardiola say he didn't coach after Man City's 4-2 defeat by Leicester?
He didn't coach?
Yeah. I'll give you some options actually on this one because of the way the wording of the question. It's either you've got 4 options: tackling, throw-ins, diving, or free kicks.
I was going to say diving before the options. I'll go diving.
No, he said tackling.
He didn't coach tackling.
Yeah.
All right. That's a strange one. I've not seen that interview.
I presume he has somebody to do the tackling, but you look back at sort of his Barcelona sides, and they weren't really that much on the tackling front, were they?
No. I guess that interview must have been as interesting as the one he was in last week. I don't know if anyone saw that on Match of the Day. He wasn't very happy.
Oh, that was hilarious.
It sort of reminded me of like Van Gaal at United, some of his interviews. He just completely was so angry and didn't want to be there. It was fantastic to see.
Question number 9. How many Premier League points has Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goals earned Man United this season?
His Premier League goals?
Basically, games in which just his goals have meant that they've won.
Okay. I think he's scored, as I said before, I think he scored 18 overall, and he scored about 12 in the Premier League, something like that.
It could mean that they've gained a draw as well.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So don't think that he'll be in multiples of 3.
Okay. Well, I could have won them 2 points if it was a draw to a win, so.
Yeah.
It's just guessing the number, I guess. So if he scored about 12, let's say they've won. 25 points?
No, not that high. 10 points.
10.
That's according to Sky, what Sky have said.
Okay, that was a poor guess, really.
Sorry.
No, it's my fault.
And the last one for you. Who is 2 points clear at the top of the Premier League after 20 games of the 98-99 season, but went on to finish 6, 20 points off the top?
I don't see how that's related to this season's Premier League, but okay.
Sorry.
2 points clear in 98-99. So obviously that was the season United won the title. I wouldn't have thought it'd be Everton?
No, it was John Gregory's Aston Villa. Okay. I don't think Everton have ever been to the Premier League, can we call?
Probably not, no. I was just trying to think of a team that would probably finish about 6.
Like 2 or 3 weeks of a season, but I don't ever remember them mounting a challenge for the title come Christmas.
No, No. Okay, so how many did I get?
I think you got 3.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see.
They weren't easy questions, though.
No. We'll see later in the show if Nick can beat that. There's been a few managerial changes in the Premier League over the last couple of weeks. I just wanted to go over some of them. So, most recent news, Mike Phelan's been sacked as Hull boss, and former Olympiacos Sporting Lisbon boss Marco Silva's come in. Just want to ask, do you think Phelan's sacking was a bit harsh? Or?
Sorry, I was just going to say, it's harsh on him, given the fact that it's sort of a job that whoever was it, I mean, given the fact that they had hardly any players when he joined, the club was all over the place, it was always going to be sort of like eating a meal without a knife and fork, really. However, I think given the fact that quickly made a quick appointment after, that it may have been a decision that the owners have actually thought about. It's not just been a rushed one. And they come out and said they want 3 key players to join in January. So they've obviously got a plan. I think their plan to try and start didn't involve Mike Phelan. So harsh in perspective that he was always up against it from the start. He didn't get a withdrawal, he didn't get a transfer window to try and get players in. So I think harsh in that regard, but I think overall, if they've got a plan, then you probably want to stick by the owner's decision if you're a whole City supporter.
I think it was a bit unlucky for him, really, that whilst he was part-time, Hull actually had a pretty decent record, and as soon as he got the job on a permanent contract, it all sort of went downhill from there.
I think he was in a bit of a tough situation, though, because, well, obviously he was in a tough situation, but I think there were a lot of games Hull played well and were unlucky not to get more points.
I think they've been crying out for a striker all season, because what they've got up front is just not good enough at the Premier League. Hernandez scored goals in the Championship, but he doesn't seem to be going to cut it at the Premier League level. McCartney, I never really rate him at Norwich. Don't really think my whole Diamande, again, similar Championship striker, in my opinion. So they're crying out for sort of someone who can knock it in, like a bit like someone who got in Defoe. They need strikers. Overall, the wide players have been playing pretty well. Snodgrass in particular has been absolutely class this season. They just need a striker.
But pretty much, you look at that squad and it's a Championship level squad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, given the fact that it ended 5th in the Championship last season, I think, or fifth or fourth in the Championship, and it wasn't in any contention to go up. They just obviously, like the playoffs is, they got pretty lucky through the playoffs, and it was largely thanks to Steve Bruce, really. And obviously Bruce resigned because he didn't think the club was going anywhere, and absolutely.
You look at, you sort of compare it to, say, Middlesbrough, who also came up, and what they then invested in. And, you know, they're not comparable, really, as levels of...
Burnley as well, in some regard.
Yeah. Do you think there's any hope for Hull of staying up, or do you think they're completely doomed?
The one thing that had perhaps saved them is that despite them not being... They haven't got the quality there, that they somehow... the new manager comes in and makes them play as a team that just plays for each other, and... that drags them out of it, but the quality isn't there.
It's a very unknown quantity, isn't it? The manager obviously coming in, but perhaps he'll have a few links and a few connections and could just get some signings in.
I worry for them, though. It's especially a manager coming in from a different league. It's a bit Bob Bradley-esque.
Well, as I say, if they've got players in mind, they say that they want 3 key players, and maybe the new manager's got some players in mind, then they've got a chance, because the football they've been playing this season hasn't been half bad. They just need to really stick the ball in the back of the net, maybe cut out a few defensive frailties, and they've got a chance. So I think if they get a good striker in and get a transfer window, they're not down and out, I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination. And especially a team sort of like I've seen over the Christmas period, who've been awful, like your Watfords. Watfords, who could easily get dragged into it from who are doing pretty well, I think they're pretty safe. You can get teams like that, you can get dragged into it, and you know, they've definitely got a chance, so they can invest properly properly in the January transfer window, they've got a chance to stay up, I think.
We mentioned the Bob Bradley situation. We'll move on to with Swansea with that. They've obviously also brought in a new manager in Paul Clement. He was formerly at Derby, but he's probably most known for being Carlo Ancelotti's assistant at Real Madrid, and he was at Bayern before leaving. I saw Steve Claridge on the BBC said he was lucky to get the job. I think it's a bit harsh, and I think he's got a good reputation as a coach. He was a bit unlucky at Derby for me. And I think it'd be interesting to see what he can do. I don't know what you guys think of Clement coming in.
Yeah, he's got a good reputation overseas, certainly. I think it's probably a better acquisition than the one at Hull, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's, you know, there's a lot to be done at that club.
What about the other side of it, Bob Bradley leaving? Do you think he was... He just seemed completely out of his depth to me.
Oh, Fisher are out of water completely. But,
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I think with Clement, though, I don't know, was Swansea, if it's one of them where it might be best for them to go down to come back up again?
Yeah, with Swansea, it's difficult. They've had a very good squad, and it just seems to have just gone a bit. They've had good managers, and they've had good managers, Nicky Rogers, yes, he did well. Michael Laudrup did superb. And it's just gone, it's sort of, and Gary Monk, he did very well, but sort of, since then he's gone, it's all gone a bit wrong, and they... I don't know, the doesn't seem to be very good in the players they're bringing in, and it's a bit strange how they've gone from this very good side and into where they are now in the relegation zone. I think, again, I think they've got a great chance, especially after they went to Crystal Palace the other night. I think they've got a great chance of staying up. And Clement, I think I'm happy to see Clement in the job, because I thought he was another one at Derby. Maybe we didn't see the best out of him, given obviously you hear all the stuff what happens at Derby, and it's the chairman sort of picks the team and everything. And maybe we might see him come out of his shell a bit as Swansea, and I think they've got sort of a backup option there. They do get the championship, they can go. I think they've still got a great again. I think they're crying out for a centre back. I think, because I don't think they've suffered since they lost Ashley Williams in the summer, so they can go and get better. And obviously, what we could say for all the bottom clubs, maybe a regard apart from Sunderland, a striker, then I think they've got a chance as well.
Okay. Obviously, we'll come on to Crystal Palace, as you mentioned, a fantastic win for Swansea over them. Sam Allardyce coming in, does that mean Crystal Palace are safe? And I've said, are we?
Yeah, I can't look. But, I mean, as much as I'd love them to get relegated, I can't look past Palace. I think they've got in charge. They've got a great squad there. I think they're in a bit of a bad run, but I'm sure that as soon as they get a win, they'll start to jump up the tail. I think they're fine. To be honest, I think they'll probably get a couple of good players in as well in January. And say, I think they're fine. I think they still haven't had players in the summer. Haven't delivered yet. Townsend. I'm sure once he gets a couple of goals, he'll be well on his way to being a good player for them. Benteke as well. Remy still to come.
That's it. You look at the Palace side, and that's a lot stronger than some of the other ones around that end of the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perhaps not kicked into gear yet, but they're a strong side. And the thing that annoys me though is that they'll turn it round and avoid relegation, and it'll all be Allardyce as this master manager again. And it's like, no, it's just a side that really shouldn't go down.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I do think at Palace as well, Zaha's been in fantastic form all season. I just want to mention that. And again, you look at the team, Townsend, as was mentioned, Benteke is obviously good in the air. But yeah, Zaha for me is the one that's really stood out.
Yeah, he's played well this season. And well, obviously he's off to the African Nations Cup now, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. That's going to affect quite a few teams.
That's a big blood for Palace. I mean, they're really going to need Townsend to come into it, especially now, as well. I think they're losing Sacco as well, so that's another wing I've gone. So I think they're crying out for Townsend to really start delivering, because they're going to be a bit short of him and punction. They'll probably be playing the players out wide. So yeah, they're going to really need to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if Zaha's there much longer.
Well, yeah, he was linked with Tottenham in the summer, wasn't he? So I think maybe.
Yeah, a fair few clubs keep sniffing around him, don't they?
Mm-hmm. I know it didn't work out from United. I think it was down to low at last. He didn't really get given a chance, and But I think
was having a go with David Moyes.
Well, there's that as well, and I think also if he can find a bigger London club like Tottenham or even Arsenal, I think he'll shine there.
Mm-hmm. I want to move on and talk about a couple of games this week. Spurs v Chelsea last night, fantastic game of football. 2-0 win for Spurs down at the Alley at the double. Does this open the title race up? Are Chelsea still favourites?
Chelsea have got to still be favourites, but you know what? One loss in what's that? 13 games.
It was a 13 game winning streak, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, 13-1. It's like the Undertaker. you've got to go with Chelsea still as the favourites. They're such a strong side throughout, and a side's not going to do an Arsenal anymore and just go through the season. I know they had a loss at the beginning of the season. Was it September they had a loss before that?
They lost two. This is their third loss of the season,
right? But yeah, they're probably going to lose a couple more before the end of the season, but so is everybody else.
Do you think that because this is the first loss, though, in so long after the winning streak, that this could, you know, bouncing back from it immediately is crucial because, you know, you see teams lose one and lose a few more, you know?
It depends on what run they've got next. They've got a blessing that they've got a cup game, I think, to sort of regroup. Well, who've they got next in the league?
That is a good question.
If you go off the back of that game and then you've got a
Leicester away.
Or something like that.
Leicester, it's not. Oh, mind you, it seems to have gone there struggle. Hey, Leicester.
Well, that was Virginia's downfall for Chelsea last season, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think Leicester Chelsea will be a good game. I think, but on the side of the on the last night's game, I thought Tottenham were outstanding. Dele Alli in particular, what a player he is, and. I think Tottenham, I think they've got a great chance of getting top four. I mean, especially on also that first half against Watford. They were brilliant on the news day. I know Watford were pretty poor, but I thought Tottenham were just outstanding. And they're really looking like what they were last season, Tottenham. And if they can keep it going right through the season, I think there's no reason why they can't end top four again.
I agree. The other game which caught my eye this week was Arsenal v Bournemouth, a 3-3 draw, Arsenal coming back from 3-0 down. Bournemouth, I think, were fantastic and deserve a lot of credit, but on the Arsenal side, to come back from 3-0 down, now I see Wenger was saying how great is the mental resolve of his team, it's stronger than ever, which, of course, he's going to praise his team. Do you think that he's right too?
I think he is, I think over last season they'd have lost that easily. Proves how good they're in a much better place this season. Full credit to them. But for that first half, they were atrocious. Mm. I mean, absolutely atrocious. No ifs, no buts or anything. We can praise Bournemouth all we want, but bottom line, Arsenal did not look like a side that wants to win Premier League, wants to win Champions League, blah, blah, blah. They were atrocious. And I think it's probably one of the. And I think. You can slate Wenger all you want. It's been the Arsenal problems over the last few years, and they have these dodgy first halves, and all these dodgy halves of football can eventually all that led up to them costing for not winning the Premier League. I mean, the second half, yeah, they have outstanding character, and as I say, last season that wouldn't have happened. So they've got quality there, but they just can't afford to do any more of these poor first half performances or poor second half performances. Rather, they just need to ensure that it doesn't happen.
Hmm. Do you genuinely think, though, that Arsenal could win the title this season?
I don't think they will now. I think that Chelsea have already won. It's above Arsenal. I can't see that be going. I think they'll definitely get top four, but I can't see them. They're going to win the league title this year.
So that's it. There's so many. This side will definitely finish top four, but that top four now, well, the top six is really grouping up. If you know, take Chelsea out of the mix, and there's not.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it. I think it's going to go right down to the last day, and I think the only one I'm really beginning to actually worry about is City.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the ones that are probably looking like the least favourites to get top four.
I think they'll be looking to. Like I know that obviously that like Gabriel Jesus has just started training with him today.
Yeah.
I think if I had to choose, I'd get another football in.
I think if I had to choose to my top four now, it would be Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham and Arsenal in that order.
I think United...
You don't think United make it in?
Well, I'd like to see United make it in, all fairness. Might not be a popular comment, but I still like Mourinho. I still think he's a quality manager. I think in all fairness, they haven't had much luck at the start of the season. And I think the fact that they've got quality, which they should. With Mourinho, I mean, they can spend all this money on players, but the simple thing is, they've got quality. They're already Carrick and Mata. Are two absolute unreal Premier League players, and they've proven over since they've sort of gone on this good run of form that they've been probably two of the key players for United.
I think Chelsea are definitely there. I think after that, Spurs, United, and Arsenal for me. I think Liverpool will just miss out, but maybe that's a bit of bias. I'm not sure.
It's so hard to predict this year.
It is. What do you think then?
Anything can happen in it.
I think United will make it, but again, that's my bias. But look, you know, you look at the run of form that they're on. How many games they've unbeaten now, and how many games they've won in a row. They seem to have one of the big pluses I've noticed for United this season is they seem to be limiting the number of injuries they've been getting, which has blighted them the last sort of two or three years. And that was something that Mourinho was really keen to address when he came in, and I don't know if he's sorted out I know you can't help certain injuries, but certain clubs do seem to get more injuries.
Well, I know when Ferguson left, when Alex Ferguson left, the head physio left in the same season, and since then, I don't know if that's caused any difference in injuries, but yeah.
Well, yeah, you look at the last two seasons at United, and there was just injuries galore.
Yeah.
It was like an entire constantly. And now, you've got a few centre-back niggles and such, but at the moment, it's pretty much a full-strength squad. If they got an injury to Ibrahimovic, then that would be a concern. I don't think there's another 20-goal striker in the team at the moment.
Do you think...
I think United will get there, and I'm going to say that the two London clubs might drop out, Spurs and Arsenal.
One thing I like about United as well, though, I think they've got the bonus. I think Rashford's come off the bench. He's proven how dangerous he is. They've got seeing that. Because I think Rashford's probably one of the best players to bring off the bench. That makes sense. He's so good at everything.
Yeah, I think that's where United and City can sort of benefit towards the tail end of the season is that I think they've got stronger squads than, say, Spurs and Arsenal for benches.
That's true, yeah. Well, yeah, because with Tottenham, we haven't really got any sort of players who can come, because all their good players start, still got good players, but, I mean, they haven't really got a game-changer to come on, like a Rashford. I mean, they've got Lamello, who doesn't really stubborn, he's not really one to change games. So, I think that's where Tottenham struggle a bit. Janssen, obviously, is a backup. He hasn't really proven that he's very good in this league.
Harry Winks, who's just sort of starting out.
Yeah, Winks is a good player, but he's not one. Again, he's not a player that you expect to come on and change the game on his head, really.
I just want to finish before the second round of the quiz. Just want to ask about a few red cards. It's been three controversial ones. There's Fernandinho's for City, Feghouli early on against United, and we saw Francis, the Bournemouth defender, get red against Arsenal. I know one's been appealed successfully, Feghouli's. Fernandinho's has been appealed, but it's been rejected, and Francis's has been appealed, and there's no answer yet. Do you think the three were red cards, and do you think referees are getting stricter?
Well, the West Ham one against United was absolutely ridiculous, wasn't it? We don't really need to say no more. It's already been discussed all over the place, but yeah, I think that's just my Dean all over, to be honest.
The thing with that one, though, is that
not even watching the game.
There was a tackle later on a challenge later on from Kiati, or however you pronounce his name. That if he hadn't given the red card earlier on in the game, I would have quite easily have seen him give a red card for that tackle. And it wasn't one that made contact, but it was another one where he flew in. Both his legs were off the ground. And if he'd have made any contact, it could have quite easily hurt him.
I think Mike Dean completely lost control of that game, though. I think no matter, unless there was something truly horrific, Mike Dean wasn't going to give another red card. He couldn't, could he? He completely lost control of the game for me.
They very much seem to clamping down on, if your feet are off the ground, you're going to be walking at the moment. And like the other game with the United game, where the Eber goal was disallowed because he scored it with his foot up in the air. It's like, well, any bicycle kick's now not allowed to be a goal?
No.
Do you think it's right that it is certainly becoming stricter?
If it stops injuries, yeah, but they've just got to apply a bit more common sense that if the player's, if it's not malicious, if the player's not absolutely, nobody's actually come out of it injured, then just let the game carry on. I mean, it's ruining games, isn't it? It's like that game.
Well, it is, yeah.
West Ham, before that, the goal, before the red card, were giving a fair crack at United.
Yeah.
And it looked a pretty tasty game. After that, West Ham had to put pretty much all the players behind the ball for most of the game. And it was pretty much a comfortable win for Man United.
Yeah.
Because of that red card.
Well, look at the Bournemouth game as well.
Killed that game.
Well, Bournemouth game as well. That Francis red card, whether it is or not, is another argument. But that red card was a big factor in Arsenal getting the point.
Yeah. I know there's all the problem you have as well is how much do you put in things like a fourth official watching the game on a monitor, bringing in so much more technology into it. And it eliminates mistakes, but how much mistakes do you want to eliminate before the game just becomes sterile?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's everybody going to be talking about in the pub after? We like talking about these sort of decisions and the controversy. Controversy, sometimes sounding a bit McLaren there. Mm-hmm. Controversy after the game. That's what makes the back page the day afterwards. Often it's not about what a great goal this was. It's about some ridiculous decision or something that happened in the game that shouldn't have happened in the game. And it makes football exciting. I don't particularly want a sterile game of football. That's a bit Shane-like to them.
It was a bit. All right, we'll move on to the final round of the quiz. So over to you, Richard.
Okay, this is 10 questions now for Nick. Let me get my questions back up.
Is it 9 about this season and 1 about another season?
It is, yes. Okay, your first one, Nick. Who scored the 25,000th Premier League goal back in November?
I do know this one. 25. How many down did he get?
He got 3 out of 10.
I don't know if I'm going to get that. 25,000th goal. I think I'm going to be wrong, but I think it wasn't Costa, was it?
It wasn't. It was a player with even more of an ego than Costa. It was Latifan.
Sorry. I thought it was.
Okay, next one's multiple choice for you. Paul Pogba made his second Man United debut in August. How many days had it been between Premier League appearances for Man United? Was it 1,016? 2016,
816,
or
1,616? I'll go for the
first
one, 1,016.
No, it was 1,616.
Ah,
excellent. Leighton Baines became the third defender to score 30 Premier League goals, but who has the most with 40?
Defender?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think I'm... This came up in a work quiz recently.
Dennis, I know he's got quite a few. Dennis Irwin?
No, it was Big JT, John Terry.
Oh, fucking hell. I thought he was my second one. Right.
Hopefully a bit more of an easy one for you now. Who received the fastest red card of the season in the Premier League?
Didn't catch that one, sorry. Fastest
red card of the season.
Was it Mikel Antonio?
No, it's Figuli this weekend that we should have been talking about. 15 minutes.
I thought Antonio had a funnier one back in. Oh, I don't know. Oh, dear.
Who has the most assists in the Premier League after 20 games?
Hazard?
No. The ginger one, De Bruyne. He's got 9 so far after 20 games. Man United reached the 20-game stage of the season with 39 points. How many did they have at this stage of the season in Louis van Gaal's first season?
39?
No, 37. Who was top of the Premier League after 20 games of the 2015-16 season?
Leicester.
No, it was Arsenal this time last season.
For shame.
42 points. You've not got one right, have you, yet?
No.
No. You need these three to draw. Which Premier League player has the most yellow cards so far this season?
It's got to be some clumsy oaf, isn't it? Probably some clumsy Birmingham defender. Burnley defender, even. Not Ryan Shawcross, is it?
No, it's Jose Holbas.
What? I heard this on fucking Sky the other day against Tottenham.
Yeah, you're just playing for pride now and not to get a duck. Which Premier League player has made both the most passes and touches of the ball so far this season?
Pogba.
No, he's second. It's Jordan Henderson.
Of course it is.
And your last question. Who is the only player to appear in both Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher's team of the season so far?
The only player to appear in both?
Neville's and Carragher's.
Costa?
Unfortunately, you got that one wrong as well. It's David Luiz.
Luiz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was unlucky. To be fair,
that was a successful round there, Nick.
To be fair, I'd have guessed the same as Nick in quite a few of them.
I think it's unfair. I think he's got it in for me.
That was quite a tough one.
Yeah.
Oh, by myself.
All right, so I just want to finish with obviously the January transfer window's open. I just want to finish with a few transfers. A couple of confirmed ones to start with. So Ndidi from Ghent has joined Leicester for 15 million, central midfielder. Bit of an unknown quantity. I don't know if you know anything about him, Richard.
The next Kante.
Yeah, he's meant to be the next Kante. He did well at the Young European Championships, I believe, last year. And he's done well for Ghent. It's a big step up, though.
Yeah.
From the Belgian league to the Premier League. And he's a young lad. I don't know. Leicester, for me, look quite bad in the league. I don't know if he'll be the one to turn it round for him. I don't think so.
Okay. A player you probably know a bit about, Nick. Adamone Lookman's joined Everton from Charlton for 11 million. Do you think he can be a success in the Premier League?
I think he can. I think this kid's quality. Out of all the teams we've played against last season, Charlton, he was probably the best winger I saw that up against Bruno in the first half. Bruno was probably the best. I think Bruno was the best right back in the Championship last season. I think he won it. The kid just tore him apart, really. Absolutely. I think he's only very young.
19,
exactly. So he's got his whole career ahead of him. I think, yeah, he'll be great for Everton. He'll flourish. He's obviously got some good ones there as well that can teach him. Like Balassi would be a good mentor for him as well. So I think, yeah, he'll be.
Well, Balassi's out for the entire season, isn't he? Now?
He's out till 2018, yeah. Summer saying, yeah.
Crikey, yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. So he's even got a chance to even show away and press, get in the team. No, I think he'll be class and play to Everton for investing the money. Just a direct winger, really, likes to take on his whip, likes to really take on his his fullback, very quick, skillful, sort of similar to Zaha, really, just an old fashioned.
Well, that's who I was thinking of actually as a comparison. You know,
yeah, like Zaha, a bit of a Zaha, maybe a bit of a Jamie Murphy of Brighton, and then just someone who likes to get the ball down, run at their fullback, and yeah, as I say, I think he'll flourish.
Lee Grant as well as the final Premier League transfer, which has been confirmed from Derby to Stoke. He's been on loan there. He's impressed so far this season. He's joined for £1.3 million, and he's out of contract at Derby at the end of the season. So yeah, very good for them, for Derby.
Well, Derby's done well, yeah.
Yeah, they've done all right out of it, because he was never going to have a future there anyway, really. So yeah,
I don't really get one though. He didn't like him because I think he's quality.
He's been very good for Stoke this season. He never really did it for Derby. I don't know what it was. It was just a strange.
Well, I remember in the playoff game a few years ago, I've been in the semi final. Derby in it in the second half. It was a man possessed in the goal. Like, save after save after save. He got man of the match, I think. He was just making save after save after save after save. It was incredible.
Mm. I don't know. He seems to be one of them keepers who has a very good game every now and then, but he's just not. I don't know. It's not consistent enough, maybe. I'm not sure. It's a strange one. But yeah, just mention a few other transfer stories. No more confirmed deals. Fonte's put in a transfer request at Southampton, which I'm sure Shane's very happy about. Can you see him getting a move to a top four club, top six club, we should say now, probably?
It's a bit sort of after the Lord Mayor's show, I think, for that. I don't know who's going to be interested in him now.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool, maybe. Sort of, yeah, Liverpool's probably the best option. United were very keen on him in the summer, and I think they've gone on to new targets now.
Because yeah. They don't need him. Arsenal don't need him. United have moved on. Chelsea obviously don't need him. So Liverpool's the only real option. Maybe City, maybe, but then they really invest more money in another centre back.
Well, he's not going to be taught to tackle.
I think
there,
City will splash back on a centre back. I don't think it'll be for Fonte. I think they'll be, you know, overseas at another £40 million at some kid that won't do anything at all.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't reckon Staines will go until he gets released or sold.
Oh no, he's a proper Guardiola player. Guardiola will stick by him. I could see Fonte actually going over to Char.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say that. I could see him having a big payday somewhere like that. Jermaine Defoe, West Ham have bid for him. They've had their bid rejected, around 6-7 million is what I read. Do you think there's any amount of money that can prize him away from Sunderland? Well, realistic amount of money that West Ham would pay.
What if Sunderland sell him? I think it's just them admitting they're a Championship club for next season.
That's it. The only reason that Sunderland will stay is because of Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've been saying about all the bottom clubs, is invest in a striker. Sunderland have got one. They maybe just need to, maybe they need to maybe think about getting a leader at the back, maybe a leader in the midfield. And then they'll be okay. So if they can, under Moyes, they can get just one, maybe two players, and make an easy step, I think, with Defoe.
It's a funny situation, though, isn't it? It's like any other time, you'd think like 10 million for Jermaine Defoe at this stage of his career is, you know, you're snatching the hand off for 10 million for Jermaine Defoe.
Mm.
You think if someone go down, how much money that cost them, though? And 10 million
that's
is
it,
not
yeah.
big deal, is it?
That's exactly it. So you just, no, they even if they offer anything, you just don't accept it. And if we got Defoe and just look to say that it's more important than anything, but I think Ellis Short was saying he simply doesn't want to invest in the squad. He says it's going to be what it is at the end of January.
Yeah.
And I think if that's the case, then
West Ham have meant to put in a bid for Hogan or something there.
Scott Hogan, yeah, he's a very good player. He played very well against us back when one of our only home defeat of the season is Brentford. He was class. He's loves to play on the last man, loves to spring the offside track. He's very quick, good eye for goal, and yeah, he'll be. The only problem is, I think he's had a few injuries over his time at Brentford. So, but no, he'll be all right at West Ham, I think. No, I'm just scared he could be sort of caught up in just sort of becomes one of these bit part players, and then just ends up sort of falling down out of favour, and then just sort of joins a Championship club, and then yeah, it's just sort of back to being a journeyman.
Well, I saw Scott Hogan's also been linked to Richard's favourite foreign club, Red Bull Leipzig, as well. So,
yeah, I saw that actually. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe another British player playing for them. Just want to finally mention. Yeah, Ollie Burke's there. They're the second in the Bundesliga at the moment. They've got a very young team, so yeah.
They've been doing great, but they came up against Bayern just before the winter break and got absolutely tonked by it.
Yeah,
that's pretty upsetting.
I just want to mention the Man United pair: Morgan Schneiderlin, Memphis Depay, Schneiderlin, West Brom, Everton. Just reading Depay maybe to Everton, but he's definitely leaving on a permanent deal, I think, rather than a loan, as far as I can tell. Where do you see them two going, and do you think they'll be big players for, say, an Everton or a West Brom or, you know, a mid-table team?
If somebody gets Memphis Depay's head in gear and, you know, gets him concentrating on playing on the pitch, he could be a top player. He's got the quality. He just hadn't got the attitude for United. I don't know what happened with him, because he's a really good player. But just something went badly wrong with him. Schneiderlin, I think it's just one of them with him that there was just a lot of players all jostling for the same position. And, you know, he preferred different options like Herrera, and for some reason still sticking with Fellaini at times.
Do you think with Depay it would be a mistake for him to go on a permanent transfer from Man United's point of view rather than just, you know, give him 6 months on loan somewhere and see what he does?
Yeah, I'd have preferred him to go out on loan and just actually get a run in the Premier League and get used to it.
Okay.
If he goes to if he'd have gone to a club like Everton and, you know, had a proper game time, he could have found that he was suited to it and getting back as a decent player next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now he could end up just coming back to haunt us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll leave it there unless there's anything else anyone would like to mention.
I think the UEFA team of the season's been announced today, hasn't it?
Has it?
I think Hero did say he wanted to sing a song.
No, I definitely didn't say that.
Oh, sorry.
The UEFA team of the season's been announced today.
Okay.
4-3-3. The big surprise was that Suarez didn't make the team.
Oh.
Who were the three?
In full, here we go. In goal, we've got Buffon, still.
We're 38 years of age. Deserves a lot of credit, doesn't it?
Returned to the team of the year, though, after a 9-year absence. I presume he's been annoying for the majority of the time in the meantime. Back four, they're all centre-backs, pretty much. You've got Ramos and Piqué. How Piqué gets into these teams of the year, I still don't know. Boateng and Bonucci.
Mm-hmm.
A midfield trio, all from the two big of clubs of Spain: Iniesta, Toni Kroos, and Modric. And then up front, you got the two obvious ones of Ronaldo and Messi. But Neymar didn't get in, Suarez didn't get in, Griezmann got in.
Mm. It's hard to argue with that team, really, though.
Yeah. You know, you think that of that, you've got what? There's eight players from Spain, seven of which are from the big two,
mm-hmm.
two players from Italy, and one player from Germany. None from the Premier League.
Well, I'm sure we can debate another day whether the Premier League is a weaker league compared to other foreign leagues. All right, well, thanks for joining us. You can follow us at V2 Football on Twitter. Check out our website, v2football.com. It's good night from me, and good night from Nick and Richard. Good night.
Good night.